Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are now
in
September. We celebrated Labor Day yesterday. That was fun. We had a short devotion on that and the value of work and the image of God. And now we're this Tuesday and Wednesday now will be our finishing of the primer on abiding. This great little series that we did to help people understand how to take what you're learning in the Word and your time with God. Remember, you're connected to the vine 24/7 for to the experience what He's guiding you into. And we don't want it to be an intellectual exercise. We don't want you to get stuck. And I would say primarily it would be not to just say, yeah, sure, I got it, and I'm off to the next study, but you really haven't experienced it. And so abiding is personalizing it, working through the real issues of your life as it relates to this until you fully experience what God is speaking and you stay with it, not out of I better do better or what's wrong with me. I just need to abide and stay with Him giving me rhema and applying this to my life till it really experiences. So we've used the example after we set up, you know, the truth of the scriptures about it. We've set up the example of how do you deal with people that you're in conflict with? And we all have them. Usually it bothers us. We're burdened by something. We wish it was better, you know, particularly if, you know, we got family that we can't seem to get past, and how do we handle that? What about people that have hurt me in the past? What about people that are hurting me now? And we've gone through an application of scripture and then a exercises, identifying what it is, what's the truth, how do we respond to it? You got to let it go if we can't deal with them anymore. Reconcile if we can. If we can't, dust our feet off. For those that were not reconciled, but they're going to be around us, like family members and workers, etc., how do I live in peace in the middle of them hurting me? And God says, I'll show you what it is. And then last time we talked specifically about working toward letting it go and not spending any more energy stuck here, but rather release it, and God will give you the power to release it as you move forward into the covenant. Is that I'm going to now discern God's will, you know, going forward. Well, Psalm 40 is a beautiful kind of a way of helping us see something here that's important as we are asking God to bring resolution. So Psalm 40, 1 to 11.
Sure. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me.
Yeah. Wow.
A great, wow. Yeah.
It starts out, and this is where, as we're dealing with conflict, We're dealing with hurt. We're dealing with you know, people that are opposing us. It says, I'm kind of stuck in the mud. I've tried to get out of this, but I can't seem to get out of it. And it still bothers me. And usually, by the way, we've said we're going to try to get out of it is I'm going to apply what the church tells me to do is just put up with their hurting you. You be the more, higher level. Let them, if they hurt you, so what? Don't let it bother you. Just put up with it. And you actually just let them keep hurting you because that's the Christian thing to do. And you're supposed to forgive them. And so I have people say, have you forgiven them? And they say, well, yeah, people told me to forgive them. I forgave them. I said, okay, tell me about them. And as they start talking about that person, you can see
the temperature rising.
They're riled
the flush
up
on the neck. Yep.
and what they've done is, I avoid that person. I'm in conflict with that person. We don't get along, et cetera, et cetera. And well, you said you did all these things, and you tried to get out of the mud yourself.
Right.
But you couldn't do it. And actually, do you recognize you're still stuck? You know, and people basically, when you talk about it and say, well, based on what you've just shared with me, don't you realize you're still stuck with this? And they kind of say, yeah, I am. I don't know what to do. I guess, because I've just been taught I just got to live with it. No, God wants to resolve it. And so he says, as you're dealing with these issues and you're abiding, what I want to do is pull you out of the mud and set you on a rock. And I think we all can appreciate the picture of that and have experienced it, which I have, where literally you're trying to trudge through this muddy stuff and you just can't get anywhere.
Right,
And that's why it gives you that picture of it. This is interesting. When I was in high school, my neighbor was—he was a business guy, owns a construction company, and so he hired me for one of my vacations to work for him. And construction workers, you know, even—and this is back in the '60s. I got pretty good pay, you know, for doing that. So he said, okay, I'm going to have you work for me. And so he was building houses. And when he built this one house, they had windows in the they had window wells in the lower basement area. And before they did properly after the walls were built, they were supposed to put a metal well so that things can't enter in. Well, they forgot to do that.
Right.
So it rained and mud, literally 3 feet of mud comes into the basement.
Oh, no.
And we're talking 3 feet of mud. So he says, Rich, your job is to go down there. And I want you to use buckets, and you get all the mud out of that basement.
Oh, no.
And it's 3 feet deep. It's 3 feet deep. So I got to get boots. And he said, if I was you, I'd get really old clothes because you're going to have to throw them out when you're done, you know. And okay. So I'm in those every day. I'm in that basement stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the picture that God shows there is like, I can remember what that felt like.
Yeah.
Is how awful is this? And I couldn't wait, by the way, until it was finally done, you know, and you're done with it. And so that's how he says, when you have conflict with relationships, you can get stuck in the mud here. He said, what I want to do is to have you be released from that and put your feet on a solid rock so that you're free of being stuck.
Right.
He said, there's two things there. One, so that, and he says this in the psalm, you can start walking.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, I got to walk forward. Remember we talked about now forward.
Yes.
Let's get into the covenant. Let me help you start walking. So let's get there. And then two, he says, you begin to rejoice because you have hope again.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't need to be stuck here in these relationships that are bothering me.
Right.
And he said, remember, you've been working through this. So you know what to do with the ones that you can't get to. You know what to do with the ones you could bring to reconciliation. You know what to do with the ones that aren't going to go to reconciliation. And you've set up boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, if you're willing to stay with me through all of that, at this point, you now should be not stuck in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You're on solid ground, ready to move forward. None of that's bothering you anymore, and you are going to praise me because you have hope now that life can be better. Why? Because I'm free of all this stuff.
Right.
And let me do it, because he says, I'm going to bring you out of the mud.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set your feet up on a rock. I'll resolve every single one of them. So remember, when you're I was thinking about this when I was picturing that work I had to do in the basement. I wasn't over being stuck in the mud until the whole basement was cleared up.
Right.
So I was getting unstuck. It was getting better, but it wasn't completed until everything was taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God is trying to say here is, look, don't do partial here. Don't
right.
say, well, I guess I'll live with the rest of these, or I've got some freedom, but not all freedom. He said, no. I'll resolve mm-hmm. every one of them. Stay with me. Stay abiding. Stay processing. You got your list. Don't let it go until every single one of them is resolved. At that point, you've gone from being stuck in the mud to putting your feet on a rock. And now your freedom is you can move forward. And you can get going and let's go. And he says, what I want to do then is have you refocus.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this, and David says this, sacrifice an offering you did not require.
Mm.
Okay, now this is interesting. Is that a completely true statement?
Not necessarily, no. Because ultimately Jesus ended up being the sacrifice.
Well,
and
yeah,
offering,
and
right?
what were they to do? They actually had to go through these feasts, and they had to sacrifice.
Right.
You know, just take the Day of Atonement, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What did that look like? Well, they would go to the temple. By the way, that's why everybody came to the temple.
Right.
The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. He would start sacrificing for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Release me from my iniquity. I'm going to do it for my family. Release them from their iniquity. And then I'll do it for the mm-hmm. nation and do it for the nation iniquity. And by the way, there was no seat there, so he couldn't sit down. So how long did it last? A year.
Yeah.
Because it had to be done over and over and over and over again. It wasn't permanent until Christ came, and then he sat down and said, it's done. It's finished.
Right.
Okay, so he would do that. Everybody else would have to bring a sacrificial animal
mm-hmm.
or buy one.
Right.
Okay, now put two and two together. Jesus went into the temple and overturned the tables.
Mm-hmm.
You've made my house of prayer a den of thieves. Why did he say that? What was going on?
They were actually selling people animals to sacrifice,
and they
right?
were over and they were overcharging them.
Yeah,
because why? It was obligated to do the sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
required to do the
right.
sacrifice. So they took advantage of it. And said, well, since you couldn't bring one, we're going to basically double charge you. And Jesus said, you're so focused on greed that you've lost the essence of what this is all about. So was it required? Yes. So, but David says, well, that's really not what you required. Okay. So what, given that that seems contradictory, what was David saying? Why was it not required? What was he trying to say there?
Because he was going after the heart. You know, what's really going on here. Yeah.
Yeah. He said it's not the implementation of a command.
Mm-hmm.
It's the heart underneath it all.
Right.
Do you understand what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
By sacrificing, and this is why he goes into this next statement, you're surrendering your will to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's not about just doing the thing, not just like going to church. It's not just doing a Bible study. He said, that's not it. So people say, well, I do those things. I read a devotion. Mm-hmm. I go to Bible study. I go to church, even can serve on a committee. Look at all and I hear this a lot. Look at what I do for God.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I said, you kind of got it backwards automatically.
Right.
Because it's not what you do for God. It's what God's going to do for you and through you, because the covenant is to bless you so you can become a blessing as you follow God's instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Not what you do for God based on what you think is a good idea. So he says, I don't want you to go through the motion.
Mm-hmm.
It's as you are releasing and moving resolution of your conflicts. It's not, I did it, I did it, I did it. It's rather, I have a heart to be released from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to follow you. And all the things that you've just shown me, it's not me doing them. It's me receiving them.
Mm.
And I get everything resolved. And then he says, actually, what I would like to be written to me is this written in the book of life, that I delighted to do your will.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that picture, right?
Yeah. And that when you go to, ultimately, when we pass from this life to the next, the well done, good and faithful servant, is kind of simple. Did you delight to do God's will? And did you experience God's will? And God's will isn't about everything that I did for him. It's really what he did for me.
Right.
And I just got to participate in that, and I took the steps with him. And he says, that's what I want you to really focus on, is you have conflicts, you have hurts, you have real issues. What I want to do is resolve all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now I've shown you the truth of every single opportunity. Nothing I can do, let it go. People that you can invite to reconcile, make the invitation. They either do or they don't. If they don't, dust off your feet. If they don't or they can't and they're still going to be around you, let me help you set up a proper boundary. Stay with it. Specifics, it's your list.
Right.
It's your people, your situations. Let me resolve it for you. And as you do, it's you have to sacrifice your will and say, I'm willing to go to fully resolution, as opposed to staying stuck because I demand that you explain how come you let it happen to me, or you should have. And God says, no, let me work you through all of that until what? You're free.
Good.
When you're free, you I can say of you, you delighted to do my will. And guess what? Going back to Psalm 111, now I can lead you into the covenant, which is going to have you be blessed for you to start giving it away. Because what I really want is not you to be stuck in this awful baloney from awful people in the world. Rather, I want you to be enjoying life so that you can teach others how to get freedom because you did. And that's how it works. So, for example, if everybody who's abiding works through this, really works through it.
Right.
Guess what? You're going to have people come across your life in the same boat you were in, and you're going to say, well, you know what? I know how to help you get to freedom. Now, this is important, and we'll talk about this next time specifically. You don't tell them do A, B, and C.
Mm.
That's what they've been told all their life. That doesn't do any good at all. It's a, let me help you abide, because God will give you the ability to take your foot in the mud, get you put it on a rock, and have you delight to do his will. But it's going to be his work. I'll just teach you how to walk with him.
Right.
As we, and stay with it. I'm going to tell you, stay with it. Because I did. And when I stayed with it, it happened. And that's what that's what abiding is all about. You know. So as we think about this, and we're going to go next time into kind of summarizing everything and where it's going to head to as a final step, which will be then Monday, it'll be the 4th, Wednesday the 4th. We will finish it up. And so stay tuned and come back tomorrow to let us kind of put it all together for you and where it really is going to head. But the truth is that as you're experiencing it, you will be at a place where you'll not be stuck anymore. You'll be free of this, and you'll be able to enjoy life, because this is such a critical piece of life. Because, first of all, we've had it happen to us. Number two, you're going to keep having it happen to you.
Right.
So this is something we really need. That's why we use this as an example. We could use all kinds of examples. But whatever you're dealing with, not everybody's dealing with this, but I hope you get the picture, is abide, stay with it, let him do his work. Don't leave it until you experience it. And so, Heavenly Father, we are just thankful that you give us the beautiful truth. The picture is I'm going to take you from being stuck. I'm going to put you on a rock. I'm going to have you start moving. I'm going to have you delight to do my will, which is going to lead you to covenant, and give us resolution to every single one. And you're asking us not to stop until every single one is resolved and we learn the beauty of living life with you as we abide. So may that be true of all of us, and may we recognize what it looks like with whatever you're showing us to abide and stay with it until we experience it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, awesome conversation. This has been a great primer that we've been going through. So thank you so much. If you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.